Turn your Bible to Psalms 24, and we're going to take a little journey today. This revelation actually started Wednesday night when Sharon was teaching, and it started exploding, and then Thursday the whole thing came, and I've been sitting on it, and that's a long time, really, to sit on this revelation, and I've been really good and not try to release it to too many people. Amen. This one, I think you're going to get a different idea today of what the blessing is. Just so you'll understand, in Genesis chapter 28 is when the ladder was set up. And Genesis chapter 32 is when Jacob wrestled with the angel. And he said, I'm not going to let go of you till you bless me. Remember that? Well, he had just returned from Laban. Pay real close attention. He was so blessed during Laban's time that he took all of Laban's wealth. God had a big hand in transferring all of Laban's wealth. In fact, Laban tried to pursue him because he was so upset about it. He had this encounter after coming back 20-something years with Laban. Coming back, he has this encounter on his way back home. Before he meets Esau. And that's when he's asking God to bless him. So before I even teach this message, he was so incredibly blessed, bringing all of that blessing with him. He had it all with him at that encounter of Genesis 32. What do you think he was asking God for when he said, bless me and I'm not letting go of you until you bless me? He already was financially blessed beyond measure. So today, with that in mind, you're going to find out the blessing is far greater than the financial. The other thing you're going to find out today is anybody who says, oh, I don't need the blessing of God, I just need God. Well, you're going to get a different revelation today of what the blessing actually means. Amen? That's going to just open wide up today, praise God. So with that said, Psalms 24, this is all coming off of this. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? He that hath clean hands, pure heart, he that has not lifted his soul to idolatry, he shall receive the blessing of the Lord. And this is also talking about the King of Glory and his entrance into the earth. But this one verse right here, verse 6, I want you to keep this in mind. As we take a big journey today, we're going to be on a long journey. We're going to journey through Jacob's whole life today. I think you're going to get a few revelations today. Well, I did for sure. It's turned to me upside down. And verse 6 said, this is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O God of Jacob. There is a generation that's going to obtain the face of God. And we're going to understand this is a generation that's going to obtain the blessing that comes from the face of God. Now, we've been talking about the face of God for several months now, but this is a culmination of the face of God. It is the catalyst that transfers or transforms you from promise to demonstration. So I want you to keep that in mind. There's a whole generation that's going to receive this blessing. And the blessing we're speaking of is what Jacob obtained. And so with that said, we're going to start moving into Jacob's life. And we're going to begin in Genesis 28. But I'm going to give you a little bit of a review of Jacob leading into Genesis 28. When Jacob and Esau were born, Esau came out as the firstborn. But that was just something in Jacob that knew that he was supposed to obtain. How many of you have ever have something inside of you that you know you're supposed to obtain something? So much so he grabbed the heel as a baby coming out. I don't know that babies grab anything, but this baby grabbed Esau's heel coming out. And someone prophesied over him and said, listen, there are two nations in your womb, but the elder's going to serve the younger. It was prophesied. Jacob had something in him. It was the search from the beginning. This man was born hungry, thirsty for the blessing. He didn't even realize what that blessing was until later on in his life. I didn't even understand what that blessing was until this weekend. But now I know what we're after. I know what we're trying to apprehend. I know what's in him. Jacob, like everybody else, well, he wasn't like everybody else. He was probably of the three. He was the most conniving, manipulating, scheming man, liar, cheat, fearful. I mean, you name it. He had every stronghold imaginable. And yet God knew his end. Even in his day when Esau came hunting from the field, his father sent him out to go hunting, and Jacob was there, and Esau come in, and he was all tired, hungry, put out, and Jacob had a whole, I think Jacob planned it. I think he planned it to a T. He had a bowl of stew. He had meat on the table, and Esau comes in, and he's faint. He goes, oh, give me some of that. And Jacob, being the conniver he is, listen, when we're young, we do a lot of things wrong, but we're doing him in pursuance of what's working inside us. Jacob had this insatiable desire to find and apprehend the blessing of God. And when you have an insatiable desire in life, you're going to make mistakes because you're going to do it all wrong when you're fooling yourself. But it means there's still something working in you. And so when Esau comes in the field and he says, give me some stew. And Jacob says, sure. Sell me your birthright. Give me the birthright of the firstborn. You can have all you want. And Esau looked at him. He goes, man, what good is the birthright right now if I die? He sells his birthright of the firstborn. He said, the Bible went on to say he despised it. He sold it to Jacob for a bowl of stew. That day, God said, when you hear that word that Jacob, I love, Esau, I've hated, that's what he's talking about. Anybody that sells their birthright out for the flesh is not worthy of it. Jacob obtained that birthright. He schemed for it. He connived for it. But that's who he was. That's who he was until God got a hold of him. And so the second time around, he wasn't even done yet. Now, his dad is getting ready at the age to pass on, and he is going to release the blessing. And back then, if you were under Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, if you received the blessing of the firstborn, once that blessing was spoken, it would happen. And they knew it. And it was something to be sought after. And so Isaac is getting ready to bless, supposed to be Esau, because he's the firstborn. So Rebecca hears this and she loves, see, Isaac loved Esau, but Rebecca loved Jacob. And so Rebecca and Jacob got the scheming together, and it didn't take much convincing. Jacob's going, yeah. I mean, you could imagine his mom said, hey, come here. Listen, your dad's ready to give his blessing. We're going to have to dress you up like Esau. We're going to have to make you smell like Esau. Could you imagine Jacob, oh, holy Jacob, saying, no, I shall not. I shall wait for the blessing of God. Jacob jumped all over that, said, yeah, Mom, let's do it. My name is Jimmy. I take all you give me. And so Jacob jumps right in. He gets in there, and Isaac can't see, but he's feeling the arm, and they put goat skins on him. He goes, you feel like Esau. You smell like him, but you don't sound like him. But he went ahead and released the blessing of the firstborn upon Jacob. All this was by God's divine design. Even in the flesh, God is working his plan. People think you got to be perfect. Listen, God, if you walk with him, and you're going to see some massive transformation. If you will walk with him, he'll perfect you. But what's inside of you, you cannot deny that. He was called to inherit something with God. He was called to inherit a blessing. He was hungry for it. He was thirsty for it. And when he was in the flesh, he would connive for it. He would lie for it. He'd cheat for it. He'd steal for it. It didn't matter. And he would go on eventually and reap what he sowed. But he got it. And when Isaac pronounced that blessing, Esau comes in from the field. Esau goes, is there not a blessing left for me? He said, yeah, you'll serve your brother. Esau's fire was kindled inside of him. And mom said, time to go. Jacob, we done messed up. Time to leave the country. Now she said, get on out. She said, now we're going to go spend a few days with Laban, your uncle. That turned into 20 years. You go on over there until Esau cools down. He's a hunter by nature, and he will slay you. He was hot. So this is where we begin our revelations at his first encounter. And he's on his way to Laban, and he goes to this city of Bethel, the house of God. We've been in this a lot. And this is where God opens up the heavens. He has a dream. He encounters God in a dream, but he opens the windows of heaven and he sees the angels of God ascending and descending. And then God speaks to him out of that dream. And he goes, oh, this must be the house of God. He wakes up. He goes, surely God is in this place. But something happened there that changed everything. But I'm going to share what he actually did say. Amen. So let's look at what he actually did say. And if you will go to Genesis 28, verse 13, and here's what he says. And Jacob dreamed, and behold, the ladder was set up, and the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, the God of Isaac, and the land wherein thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. Now, verse 14 is peculiar interest here. We're going to be back in this today. And he says, thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. Thou shalt be spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south. And in thee and thy seed will all the families of the earth be blessed. What he is actually doing in that statement right there is he's beginning to confirm the covenant. The same one he confirmed in Abraham. Remember when we taught that, how he walked Abraham out into the generations all the way to Christ? He said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Well, God's walking him out too. And he's confirming it because he's coming out of your loins. In other words, God is saying, you have left your father and mother, and he's visiting him in Bethel. He goes, you are the one I've chosen. It's your lineage he's coming through. You receive the blessing, but now I'm blessing you, and I'm confirming a seed that's going to come out of your loins. But he doesn't say thou shall, thou will. So you got to go to the literal translation. And in the literal translation, I'm going to read it to you from the literal. So here's what he actually says to him in this encounter in verse 13. And lo, Jehovah is standing upon him saying, I am Jehovah, God of Abraham, thy father, God of Isaac, the land on which thou art lying. He doesn't say, I shall give it. He says this, to thee I give it. Now watch what he says here. Now verse 14, here's what he actually says to him. See if this doesn't sound like Abraham. He's in an encounter in the face of God. What happens when we get encountered in the face of God? Remember, God starts walking us through, walking us up, walking us to the end. And he speaks many times in the face of God, past tense. He's not speaking to you where you are. He's walking you into the finished position and saying, it's done. It's completed. Thou hast been. Right? So he's about to do that with Jacob. Very important part of this whole progression. And he says, thy seed, watch this. This is actually the way it's interpreted. Thy seed hath been as the dust of the land. And thou hast broken forth, hast, into westward, eastward, northward, southward, and all of the families of the earth have been blessed. Already, in thee and thy seed, speaking of Christ, he's reaffirming, Christ is the one I've chosen to come through your seed. Therefore, I'm going to do some marvelous things with you. But he walked him out that day in his face. Isn't that awesome? Took him out. You have to understand something. When God does this, or when we encounter the face of God, it is finished. That day, Christ was coming out of Jacob's loin. In the same way he was coming out of Abraham's loin. There was nothing going to stop that, because God said, it have been. It has done. Thy seed is multiplied. When he was talking about his seed, he's walking him all the way down to Christ. Amen? All right. So that's what's happening. God's encountering him in his face. Now, verse 15 is huge. He says, and lo, I am with you. It says, behold, I am with thee. I will keep you in all places whither thou goest. I will bring thee again into this land. I will not leave thee until I've done all that I said unto thee. It says something a little different. There was going to be some pretty major storms in Jacob's life. He was going to face death on two different occasions to get back to this very land. Basically, God saying, I'm going to encounter you again right here, right where you are. But this is what God actually says to him. He finishes it before he even begins it. Because Jacob's about to go on a major journey. For 20 years, he's going to face death twice on that journey. And here's what God says to him before he gets back to Bethel. Because something's going to happen when he gets back here. God manifested his glory that day. And something's going to happen, but God is speaking to him like he's already back there 20 years later. When God does that, that means he takes 20 years and goes, whoosh. When God says it past tense, not I'm going to do it, but it is finished, it's done, it's finished. So watch what he actually says. Verse 15. And lo, I am with you. He says that I am with thee, and I have kept thee whithersoever thou goest, and I have caused thee to turn back unto this very ground. For I leave thee not till I have surely done all that I have spoken. Notice that. Now that's going to be big if you'll remember that. I have kept you wherever you go, and I have caused you to return to this very ground. Now, it's not, I'm going to do this. I have done this. I've already returned you here. He doesn't know it's 20 years later. None of us know it's 20 years. We were saying this is our year 11 years ago. I remember saying this is our year, and Chuck's going, oh, man. We're already up in October now. God don't tell you everything. He just puts it right in front of you. He says, but I have caused thee to return here. Wow. Now, if you understand what he's going to do when he returns there, it's a lot. But God said, listen, I'm going to make you come back full circle, but I have already done this. Now, if Jacob could have just heard what God said, like when Jesus get in the boat and said, let us go to the other side. If we can just hear what he says, there would have been no room to fear. Jacob's running out of fear. Jacob's life had a lot of fear in it. When he left Laban, Laban, when he was out in the field, he took all the wives, all the money, all the livestock, and took off. That's your Jacob right there. Big time. But God said, I'm going to have you do full circle. But I've already done the circle. Look at this. God said, I've already drawn the circle. We've already done the circle. We've already completed it. I'm going to bring you back. I'm not going to. I brought you back. You see the difference? Where is God speaking to him from? He's speaking to him in Genesis 35. Not Genesis 28. See, God is standing in Genesis 35 and say, we're already back here. It doesn't matter that you're about to go do a lap for 20 years. But God had to get Jacob out of him and get somebody else up in him. Because Jacob's still full of himself. But God was with him. He had the blessing on him. And that blessing was working. So from that point, God sends him out and he goes to Laban. And he spends 20 years there, and all of a sudden, he sees Leah and Rachel. Now, Rachel was beautiful. And he said, I will work 7 years for her. Laban said, all right. Now, remember, Jacob was a conniver, a schemer. So now, though he's going to get really blessed, he's also going to eat the fruit of his ways. And God was going to use Laban to do this. And so 7 years goes by, and it's time for wedding night, and Laban does the switcheroo. And he throws Leah up in there, and Jacob don't know it till the morning. Candle must have burned out or something that night. He goes, I thought I was getting Rachel. I got Leah. And Leah goes, oh, you could imagine, Jake, 7 years. He must have felt like Esau at that point. Now he's got to work another 7, but see, now Laban is all of a sudden come to the conclusion, this guy's got something on him. Ever since he showed up, everything is blessed around me. And so he works another 7 years, and then he obtains Rachel. And then they're the ones that get into a battle with one another, how many children they can produce. And that's how you get the 12 patriarchs to come out. Because they're in a never-ending battle of which one's going to produce more children. But at that point, he gets married. He's got 2 wives. He's going to work 6 or 7 more years for Laban before God tells him time to go. But during that time, Laban starts changing his wages. I have been there. I understand that. But also stand the blessing of God. He'd say, no, he goes, listen, all the cattle that are ring street, you can have them. Give me all the other. And God would make all the cattle come out ring street. And every time Laban would say, okay, you can have the spotted ones, God would make them all spotted. And God was just blessing him. And he'd give him witty invention, put popular rod. I don't know how they did that, but he would see those rods. And while they were feeding, somehow they were looking at those rods. And then all the cattle would come out street. Laban said, you can have all the ones in the street. And he got so mightily, say, blessed. Then it was time to go. And God comes to him and said, it's time to go. Now Jacob is still fearful. So he decides to leave Laban while Laban's out in the field. He gathers the wives, he gathers the livestock, and he's out of there. And Laban finds out that he's gone, and Laban pursues him. But God comes to him in a dream because now he's a covenant man. You have to understand, with the blessing of God. And God comes to Laban and said, do not touch this man. Do not speak evil against him. And Laban comes to him and says, look, you just took all that I have, everything I've got, you've got it. My wives, he goes, my children are yours, my livestock's yours, and your God tells me I can't touch you. But then he goes, look, you're the one that changed my wages 10 times. But Laban knew he couldn't do anything about it. Because God told him not to. Now, how dumb can you get and still breathe? He is confessing that God spoke to him, an angel of God told him not to do it, but he's still pursuing his idols. He wants his idols. Because Rachel, I never knew why Rachel wasn't buried in Mount Hebron. You know that every one of the patriarchs and all their wives were buried except Rachel. She didn't make it to Mount Hebron. She died prematurely in childbirth, giving birth to Benjamin. I never knew why. It's because she's the one that took the idol. She's the one that hid it in the tent. And when Laban was coming, he goes, listen, what I really want is my idols back. And Jacob goes, I don't have your idol. Look, you can do whatever you want. Because Jacob didn't know that his own wife took the idol. She was sitting on it. When they come in the tent, said, look, I'm past age right now. And she goes, it's my time of month. You got to get out of here. And she's sitting on the idol. And God said, that will not do. You're not an inheritor. That's why she died prematurely. Laban never got his idols back. They end up burying them under a tree. But now they leave, and God spares his life, because Laban was mean to do him harm. Now he's coming back, and he's making his way back now, and he's coming back. And we're going to get into some things of why, what God spoke to him later. But he's coming back, and now he hears Esau's coming out now. You know the one he left, the one he fled. Esau has 400 men with him. And Esau is ready, and Jacob doesn't know if Esau's meeting him, greeting him, or he's going to kill him. And Jacob is full of fear. This is still 20 years in the making. And this is where we get into now Genesis 32. Something majorly happens in Genesis 32. And this is where I believe we are or have been in this vision. And I want to look at Genesis 32 when God actually said to him, and on his way, he hears that Esau's coming out. He's full of fear. He goes and gets alone, and he sends out a whole bunch of his livestock to try to buy off. See how he's still trying to manipulate? He's trying to buy Esau's favor off. He splits the tribes in two. He says, listen, if he destroys one tribe, flee, run. Does this sound like a patriarch of faith to you? This is the guy right here. This is him. Never judge a book by its cover. When God is with somebody, do not look at their old man, because God has a remedy for the old man. Amen? Because what's working in him is far greater. So now we're going to pick it up in Genesis 32. This is where it's going to get good. Now, verse 24. Boy, this one just, this one blasted me right here. Context again. He's coming back. He has transferred all, God transferred all the wealth of Laban to him. Laban literally was raked clean, but Laban needed it. He served false gods and he wasn't, you know, this guy was a conniver himself. So he's coming with all this wealth, blessed, mightily blessed. Why are you one of the most blessed men in all the land? In fact, all the cities around about here, he's coming and they're in fear of him and he's in fear and they're in fear of him, but he's in fear. But all this wealth, and this is in the context of what he's asking God, he's going to wrestle. I don't get this. This is not an angel wrestling with him. You're going to find out this is Lord Jesus incarnate. This is the Lord wrestle. God comes down and wrestles with a man. That's incredible to me. Any of you wrestled with the Lord lately? I mean, literally wrestled. Verse 24. So he says, and Jacob was left alone. Now, this is Esau's pursuing him. He's deathly afraid. And here God encounters him again. Now, what did God say to him in 28? He says, I have already caused you to return. He's not at Bethel yet because I've already caused you to return here. But he didn't listen. We don't always listen to what God says. So Jacob was left alone and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, God wrestling with man. Because God is going to speak to him. That's how you know it's God. There's an angel that has authority to speak what he says. And he touched the hollow of his thigh and the hollow of his Jacob's thigh, which is hip socket, was thrown out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, now let me go for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let you go except thou bless me. Now I didn't know what was in this blessing. He said, what's your name? Now, let me ask you a question. You and I may not have a physical wrestling match with God, but we are always in some kind of wrestling with God. I want you to understand the dynamic of what's going on. Your old man is going to wrestle with God, and God is going to win that battle. And what's going to happen, the longer you wrestle, that hip joint is going to get thrown out of socket where your old man is incapable of walking anymore. He'll be like this, hobbling around. But the key to all of this, when you're in a situation and God wants something and you're not giving it up, don't let go of him in the realm of faith. Don't let go of him with a new man. And if you won't let go, God himself will break that old man. He'll throw him out of socket. He's got to throw him out of socket. Because that old man is the one standing in the way for what's about to happen. So when he threw that socket out, I don't know anything about this, but I've had this socket out, that socket out, neck thrown out, back thrown out, feet thrown out. You're just seeing a new man walking around right now. God is getting him ready. He throws the hip joint out. And suddenly, but Jacob had something in him. He had this insatiable desire, this insatiable craving, this insatiable thing to want the blessing of God. Well, wait till you see what it is. He was already blessed financially. That's not what he was after. The blessing of God is far greater than financial. I don't even know if Jacob knew what he was after. But he said, I'm not letting you go till you bless me. And he said, what is your name? Jacob. Jacob, conniver, schemer, liar, thief, trickster. He said, your name is no more Jacob. That was the day the blessing of God came upon him. We don't really understand fully what that is until Genesis 35. But that day, that blessing, God changed his name. When he changed his name, he changed his identity. He changed who he was. He changed his calling, changed his destiny, changed his image, changed fundamentally everything about him. In so doing, God made a nation out of him. To this day, we call it Israel. He called a land after him, called a nation after him, called a people after him. Changed everything about him. You know the name Israel? God himself was never spoken before that. Never once recorded in the Bible. God spoke the name. God created his name. God created his identity. God created a brand new person. Out of that wrestling mat, if you will not let go, Jesus said it like this, if you keep my words, my Father and I will come down and make our abode with you. And when we do, we will stand with you for 1,000 years to come. Because I'm going to speak some things over you today that's going to outlast your life, that's going to outlast your seed. I'm going to bring a nation out of you, boy. I'm going to bring a land out of you. Here we are 3,000 or 4,000 years later, still calling his name because of what happened that day. And he said, what's your name? He said, that name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. Israel is a prince. As a prince, has thou power with God and with men, and has prevailed. And verse 30, Jacob called that place Penuel, face of God. Two words, Penim or Penuel, both of them are the face of God. He encountered the face of God that day. Now here's what God really said to him. Got to go to the Young's literal translation. This is literally what God said to him. And he said, thy name is no more called Jacob, but Israel. For thou hast been a prince with God and with men, and you do prevail. Thou dost prevail. You have prevailed. He said, thou hast been a prince. He hadn't been a prince. See, God had changed the identity. See, that's the difference. When we move into the glory, that's when God changes us. When we move into the face of God, that's when God shifts us. See, there is coming a fundamental shift in the body of Christ. A shift of identity, a shift of who we are from priest to king. We're not just going to wake up one day in royalty. This is the generation that's going to go before the face of God. There's a generation that has to go in front of the face of God. I said generation. A whole church, a global church, must come into the face of God and be changed fundamentally to become a royal priesthood. To move into royalty with God. To rule and reign with God. All of this is going to happen in God. He's going to fundamentally transform and change. Because that's what he does. That's what happened. That's the blessing. I wrote about 11 things what the blessing is. The Lord started shouting it to me the other day. He started going, the blessing is, the blessing is. I couldn't write fast enough. I couldn't even read my writing. I said, the blessing is, the blessing is. Let's go now to Genesis 35, because God speaks to him and tells him, I'm going to bring you back. Remember, he said, I got to take you back. See, now the circle is full now. He says, I have been with you. So to make a long story short, Jacob met with those angels right before he had this encounter. Those angels dismantled Esau. He was afraid of nothing. By the time Esau showed up, he goes, what meanest all this stuff you're bringing me? He goes, man, I haven't seen you. Give me a hug. Come on, bro. Give me a bro hug. Jacob thought he was going to kill him. God dismantled 400 men, dismantled Esau's countenance, changed him, see, because God told him, I have been with you to bring you back all the way here. He already told him he's coming back to Bethel. So on the way there, he gives him this encounter. But now God's going to speak some things over his new name. See, there's a fundamental identity shift that's about to happen with you and I. He's going to speak some things over us. He's already spoken some things over us. And when he does, it's going to fundamentally change our identity, calling, destiny. Whoa, it's going to shift it in. Now, I go to Genesis 35. Now here, he's back at El Bethel. See, Jacob names it El Bethel. Now Jacob is not just calling it the house of God. He said, now I am with the God of the house of God. See, he's getting a little closer now. God was encountering him with his house. But God's encountering him because now I'm with the God, because God has come down to be with me. One of the blessings, God shouted to me the other day, he said, the blessing is to have God with you. Not being religious, charismatic Christian, oh, God is with me. I mean, when God is with you, he's with you. He'll fight your battles. He'll dismantle armies that come against you. He'll speak to wicked kings that don't touch that man. God said he reproved kings for their sake. When God is with you, he'll fight for you. There's a difference. When God is with you, he'll be with you. And he's there to confirm what he put inside you. And when God changes your name, he is going to confirm that change. He's going to confirm it with demonstration. And he's going to see to that change is multiplied into the nations of the earth. That blessing was the catalyst that moved Jacob from promise to demonstration. One of the things that blessing does, it moves you out of promissory state into the blessing, into the demonstration, the confirmation of that promise. Every one of us have to have that kind of encounter where God fundamentally transforms who we are. But you can't let go of him. It's not for the weak or faint of heart. You can't go turn aside. Like, listen, you got to hold on. You got to hold that word. You got to fix and say, I will not let go until you bless me with John 14. I and my Father will come and make our abode with you. I will not let go until your manifest glory is with us in the earth. I will not let go till you crown a generation. Though my flesh may break, but you may break the right socket, the hip socket, and both legs, my new man will stand up. Amen. Let's go to Genesis 35. Now he brings him back to El Bethel. He's meeting with the God of the house of Bethel. Now he's meeting face to face with God. He's been in two different encounters in the face of God. Now God's getting ready to do something pretty mighty in him. And he's going to do it with us too. That is the blessing he's speaking of in Psalms 24. That is what we're after. That is what we're cleaving to. That is what we're laying hold of. That is what we're fixing. That is what we are fixed upon and we will not turn aside. Genesis 35. And God appeared unto Jacob again. Verse 10. And said unto him, thy name is Jacob. He reaffirms who he was. The reason he's doing this, he's going back to his first visit there. Your name is Jacob. This is who you were. We both know who you were. How many of you know who you were? Raise your hand. Anybody know who you were? Some of us know who they were. Some of us knew who I were. Some of us know who I was. Some of us know who you was. It doesn't matter who you was. It matters what God says you are. Who do you say? So then he came and he said, thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall no longer be called Jacob. Here's what God's saying to him. We changed your name back there. in that field when we wrestled. I don't see you anymore as that man. I don't see you anymore as the conniver. I don't see you anymore as a swindler. I don't see you anymore as that old man. We broke the hip joint. I see you as I've named you personally. And I see who you are, and I see where you're going. And I want to tell you where you're going today. I'm going to tell you what's going to come out of you today. I'm going to tell you your capacity today. I'm going to speak some things over this new man with this new name. And when I speak it, it's going to happen for 1,000 years and 1,000 years and 1,000 and 1,000. Aren't you glad Israel's not called Esau? The world's not fighting over Esau. Why do you think the devil wants that land? Because God gave it to Jacob. He named it. Oh, the devil hates that. The devil could have it, the whole earth, but all he wants is that one piece of land. He's crazy. Complete lunatic. Look at the people that are serving him in the political realm, if you don't believe me. Anyway, moving right along. And God said unto him, thy name is Jacob, thy name shall not be any more called Jacob. Listen, there is a time, there's no more room for the old man. There is a time, there's no more room for that which was past. There's a time that you're going to step over and step your feet into a new promised land. And there is a time that realm, that person, there might be people that still see you that way, but God doesn't see you that way. And more importantly, you will not see yourself that way. There is a time you cannot allow yourself to be dragged back there that God said, your name is no more that man. You are no more that person. There's a time we wrestled. And there's a time I won, God said. But there's a time you won too. You got the blessing, and that blessing caused you to step over into another realm. That is what's happening right now. We're stepping over to another realm. And watch what he says. But Israel shall be thy name, a prince with God. And he called his name Israel. And watch what God says, verse 11. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful now and multiply. That's what happens when God changes your name. Nothing can happen for 30 years and God says, name change, identity change, calling change, time of the crowd, be fruitful and multiply. Touch me if you can. That's what God says. Touch me if you can. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee. Kings come out of thy loins. You know what he says in the Youngs? And God said, I am God Almighty, be fruitful and multiply. A nation and an assembly of nations is from you. Kings from your loins go out. Not gonna go out, not going, but they go out. You see how God, he just speaks to him. See, when God says that over you in his face, it's done. You start multiplying. That's what the blessing does. It moves you from that old man that nothing was happening into the new man where everything is happening. It moves you from a disfavor to favor. It moves you from nothingness to everything. It moves you into the realm of glory where God will speak a decree over your life and whoosh. He said, kings, you know there's a church sitting up in this church. There's a global church waiting to be crowned. There is a global church waiting for their change of identity. That are priests waiting on the seven spirits of God to fall upon them and transform them into royalty. Where the kings and priests will reign. King kings will come out of your loins. If you be Christ, you're Abraham's seed and heirs of all this. You can say Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Christ, you. You can lay into that lineage, lay into that blessing. Now, from my loins proceeded king. He said, they'll kings come out. He didn't say that. When he was saying that he would bless him before, he was speaking to the seed. All the families of the earth. Now he's speaking directly to. He was promising. He was walking him down through his seed. And now he's saying, your name is Israel. I am ready to lay it on you. See, there comes a time of that mass transformation. That is what happened in the wrestling match. That is what God said. If a man will keep my words, don't let go. Our prayers. Now, I will not let go till you bless me. Till you change my name, change my identity, change my function, crown me, move us to a priest, to a king, move us into the royalty of God. Move us into the crown. Move us into the final. Last days, I won't let go. See that transformation. And Jacob set up a pillar. We talked with him, even a pillar of stone. He poured a drink offering therein. And he poured oil therein. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spake with him. It's actually El Bethel. I have been with the God of the house of God. See the difference? Now, I want to read to you a few things about the blessing. There was shortly after this, if you'll go on down to Genesis 35, it's not in your notes. Jacob, right after this, God moved him from Bethel and moved him on into Mount Hebron. And that's where he died. And that's where Leah was with him. He inherited the mountain. He went on to become the inheritor. Now, I want to read to you some of these blessings that God spoke. So here are some of the things he spoke over Jacob. But this is over us now, or what the blessing is. Here's what we're after. I'll not let go to thou bless me. How many of you know we're not going to let go? I mean, listen, if you don't let go, the old man, he'll get out. God will move him out of the way. And get your new man positioned with a new identity to inherit. Amen? Here are some of the blessings. The blessing is for God to literally be with you in the earth. He said it like this. The blessing is for me to be with you in the earth. He started rolling it out like that. He said the blessing is to access. He said it like this. The face of God. He said the blessing is to access my face. Transforming your name, identity, calling, and destiny. The blessing is the catalyst that transforms you from promise to demonstration. The blessing will cause the testimony, watch this, the testimony of your life to be spoken of for 1,000 years to come. Blessing will have your testimony spoken 1,000 years to come. The blessing is to have God stand with you and fight your battles. He said it like this. The blessing is to have me stand with you and fight every battle for you. Like I did with Laban, like I did with Esau. Whole armies can be assigned against you and I'll be with you. Boy, he was spinning my head around the other day. He said, the blessing is to have my angels constantly with you. Working on your behalf. Jacob had more angelic counter. Man, I got. The blessing is to have God call your seed after you and exceedingly multiply you and them. Isn't that awesome? That's natural seed, spiritual seed. The blessing is, of course, to have your life financially blessed with generational inheritance. I think every one of us needs some of this. Nah, I don't really need the blessing. I just want to serve God. You don't want God to be with you? You don't want Him to change your identity and multiply you into every nation of the earth. He don't want him multiplying what's inside of you. You don't want any of that. The blessing is to walk as a possessor of heaven and earth. The blessing is for God. He said like this to me. He said, the blessing, he was calming down now. He said, the blessing is for me to call you my friend. He said, I called you my friend in my word, but if you kept my commandment, but God comes down and stands with you as a friend. That's big. All that in that. The blessing is to be transformed in the face of God from an orphan spirit to a full-age son, to heirs and joint heirs with God, all the way into the reigning kings under the seven spirits of God. That's the blessing of our generation. This is the generation that will seek thy face, O God of Jacob. This is the generation that's going to obtain the blessing. It's not going to be one person in a generation. He is going to radically, fundamentally transform the identity of a whole global church. He's going to take them to priest and he's going to move them into the royalty of kings. Let's give God glory. Praise God. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah. So the blessing, that's what we're after. That's the transition to all things. That's going to put fruit on the limbs, meat on the table. The blessing will cause demonstration to go with the word. So I want to share some things now that we went through this that you may not have seen as we went through this. Let's go back to Genesis 28. Remember, gate of heaven? God manifested the glory. Angels ascending and descending. Okay, now Jacob wakes up from the dream and said, oh my God, this is the house of God. I must be in the house of God. Now Jacob says something. Now follow this. He wakes up in the middle. He said, this must be the house of God. And he gets in the encounter. How many of you want to start giving when you get in the encounter of God? Man, I tell you, when they get in the encounter of God, I mean, I just want to give everything. Jacob gets, man, this guy is like, I'll give you everything. So look at verse 20. And Jacob vowed a vow. You can open your Bible, Genesis 28, 20. You want to see this. So Jacob, he vows a vow with God. He's saying, if God, you will be with me and keep me in this way that I go, then give me bread to eat. Raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace. Because remember, he's running from Esau. Then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone, which I set for a pillar, shall be God's house. And then he said, and of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth. See verse 30, he said, he vowed a vow. Think God was listening to him? Think he heard him? Go to Genesis 31 in your Bible. You're going to like it. Now he's up there in Laban country and he's done his 20-year deal. And now God is coming to him saying, time to go. Now watch what God says to him when it's time to go. So Genesis 31 verse 1. Laban was complaining that Jacob take all his stuff. All that wealth suddenly came to Jacob. God was watching because God multiplied him, right? Now look at verse 11. And the angel of God spake unto me in a dream. He's talking to his wives, saying, Jacob. And I said, here I am. And he said, lift up now thine eyes and see all the rams which leap upon the cattle are ring-streaked, speckled, and grizzled. For I have seen all the Laban's done unto you, and I have transferred it all, basically. Now watch what he says in verse 13. He said, I am the God of Bethel. I am the one who encountered you. Remember back there in Bethel? I hadn't forgotten what you said. He says, where thou anointest the pillar and where you vow the vow unto me. Now arise, get out of the land and let's go fulfill the vow. What was his vow? I'll surely give you a tenth. He goes, I've multiplied you. Come on. So I had this question. I said, well, you told him, you reminded him of his vow. You're going to bring him back to the very Bethel where you reminded him he made the vow. And all he does is pour oil over a stone. I don't see him giving anything. And God said, oh, you need to look again. So let's go look again. Remember, this is when he changed him to Israel, right? Now look at Genesis 35, verse 9. You have no idea what's sitting in your hand. You have no idea the authority of what you can release when you come into the glory of God. When he vowed a vow, he vowed it in the middle of God. Now his name has been changed and God has brought him back to Bethel. But he is no more Jacob. He is now Israel. And God speaks to him like he's Israel. And he said, your name is no more Jacob. He said, I am the God Almighty. He goes, be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations will come out of you. Kings, come out of you. We just saw that, right? I'm like, well, where is the offering? He poured oil over the rock. He brought him right back to Bethel. He said, this day, this vow will be fulfilled by every person that comes out of your generation. For I am going to bring a generation of tithers out of you. I'm going to bring a whole company generation because I'm going to give you this land. And he tells him, I'm going to cause your seed to return to this land. That was under Moses, the Levitical priesthood. And when that seed returns to this land, not only are you giving, boy, but I'm going to bring a whole generation now. 11 tribes of tithers are coming out from your loins. I'm going to institute a priesthood and I'm going to institute a company of nations to give. That was the fulfillment of his vow. He goes, now you can give me 10 here, but I'd rather have 10% of your loins. Because what's coming out of you, that is the way you have to see your life. Everything you do, God can multiply it into an extremity beyond extremities. God said, this is the tithe that I want. I'm going to tithe the nations coming out of you. And they're going to tithe. No telling how much came out from his loins that day. When we encounter the glory of God, when we do things in the glory of God, when we function in the glory of God, when we speak in the glory of God, when we move in the glory of God, when we give in the glory of God, you don't all know what God has in store for you. You can't know. You don't know what he's going to open up for you. When you're in the glory, he takes all limitation. He speaks possessors of heaven and earth over you today. Everyone say, I am a possessor of heaven and earth. Today I give to you, Jesus, my high priest. I present this before you where there's no limitation, where you have changed my name, you changed my identity, and out of me comes kings. Somebody's going to see that. Somebody is going to see that capacity. Somebody's going to unleash that capacity. Somebody's going to release. In the name of Jesus, we present it up before you, Lord, and we release it in your hands. And we do now call this seed blessed as we stand in the new place. We stand in our kingly place. We stand in the new name, the new identity, the new calling, the new mat. Out from this house comes a generation of kings. Out from this house will multiply exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond all that we ask or think. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Come on, let's give him glory. Amen.